One, two, three. This is Dr. Alex Avila, and this is Love University. I'm an author, speaker, and psychologist. And every week we talk about how to love yourself, others, and a higher nature. And we're back from summer vacation. I know some of you guys may have had a great time traveling and being places. And of course, we're always here. But now we're starting our fall semester at Love University. And each week we tackle different topics to help you live a better life, have better relationships, have more love and success. And today's topic, I think, is going to be very applicable to many people, because we live in a society where people need this element and they often pursue it in many ways. And sometimes they're afraid of it and sometimes they love it. And it is called money or wealth. And today's topic, the psychology of wealth, how to have the mind of abundance. Now, when we think about wealth, we can talk about emotional wealth, for example, relationships and love and experiences and giving to others and having a happy and joyous life. But there's also financial wealth, what we call experiences related to money, material things, and of course, cold hard cash, having financial assets. And people have different opinions about money. Some people pursue it to such a high level that they forgo other things. Other people avoid it. They think money is the root of all evil. The key is to take a middle ground, to see that money can have benefits if it's used in the right way, especially to help other people and to create a positive, loving energy in the world. Benefits of money, of course, we have more control. We have more freedom when we have more money. We don't have to work necessarily at a job that takes a lot of our time. Maybe we could have our own business. We can travel. We can do the things we want with our loved ones when we have more financial security and more money. And they did an interesting study that showed that having more money actually reduces your pain, your physical pain. They had people count money and then they had them put their hand in a bowl of hot water. And those people that counted the money beforehand had less physical pain. On the other hand, if they thought of how many bills they had to pay, they actually had more physical pain when they put their hand in the hot water. They did the same study with social situations. They said, first of all, count money, and then they went out and socialized, and they actually had more comfort and less shyness. And other people thought about all the bills they had to pay, and then they had more anxiety when they talked to people in social settings. So I guess if you're a little bit shy, put some extra dollars in your pocket, a few more bills, and that might actually make you feel a little better. People may have more better physical health when they have more financial standing. They can afford better health insurance. They might eat and better and have better accommodations. And also, some research shows even that having more money can give you a more sense of meaning in life, significance that you're doing, let's say, the career that you love to do, the profession or the business that you really are passionate about. And that generates money and income, but it also gives you that inner satisfaction. One of the key elements to having wealth, whether it's emotional or financial wealth, is to learn how to master fear. Because many times people have fear about money. And it's really more the fear internally that's the problem as opposed to the actual money part of it. When you don't have money and you're considered to be financially struggling, you might fear that you'll never have enough money. I don't have enough to pay my bills. I have scarcity. On the other hand, if you have a lot of money, you're considered wealthy, you might fear that you'll lose the money if you have fear inside you. So one of the elements of having wealth mastery or the mind of abundance is to master that fear, whether you have enough or not enough, is to believe that you always have an abundance and you can always create more because you have the internal traits that can do it. The other interesting trend with money or wealth is something called genoeconomics. They're starting to see if there are certain genes that actually predispose you to being better at making money or being more successful at being wealthy. And they did a study where they rated people's quality of their genes, and those with higher scores ended up being wealthier. Those that had lower scores on the gene study actually had more money fear. They were more hesitant to invest. They thought the stock market might crash. So they had more of that anxiety toward money. But a lot of money generation and money abundance thinking is environmental, something that you can learn, something you can develop. So whether you have a lot of money now or a little bit of money, if someday you want to have more wealth in your life, financial security, it's important to start thinking like those people that already have it. People who may be what we call millionaires, or they have a certain amount of wealth, financial wealth. So this is what we call the mind of abundance, the mind of wealth. Now again, we don't want to over-focus on money as everything. We know people that can be very miserable with a lot of money. They can be lonely. They can sacrifice relationships. But other people are very happy with a certain amount of financial success. Happiness is increased to a certain point after a certain amount of money. But after that, it doesn't have that much difference in happiness. But it does have difference in options and freedom. So let's talk about the millionaires. Now, they've done quite a few studies on people that are millionaires or more in financial standing, and they find out what are the characteristics that they have, what are their personality styles that you might be able to adopt. One of them is that they place a high value on their time. They realize that the old adage, time is more important than money, is often true, because they realize that they would rather be investing their time in things that either could make more money investing-wise or maybe with their family or loved ones or leisure activities. So people with a high level of wealth often learn how to say no. they may have many requests from other people that want them to invest with them or people that want their time. It may not be that important in their real overall life. So they don't learn how to say, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to go to that dinner or that event. I'm going to focus on the important things, whether it's my career, my business, and my family, and things I really value. So saying no is very important, even though it may be hard a little bit to say no, but it is an important tool to value your time, because your time is the most valuable item that you have. You can always get your money back, but you won't be able to get the time back that you spend maybe wasting it on certain activities. Another thing that they do, the wealthy people, people with the mind of wealth, is they ignore their weaknesses and they focus on their strengths. So maybe your strength is communication or marketing or technology or writing or art or maybe taking care of people. Whatever it might be, focus on that particular talent. And other things you're not good at, maybe you're not good at organizing, maybe you're not good at talking to people, you're a little bit introverted, then outsource that. And wealthy people do that. They have find people that can do that for them. Assistants, independent contractors, other people that can take over those roles that they're not good at, because they can maximize their income potential by focusing on the great things that they do, the abilities they have. The other thing that wealthy people do, people with a mind of abundance, is that they have a positive financial story in their head in terms of how they view money. Now, some people are raised with poverty mentality. You know, money doesn't grow on trees, or you'll never make enough money. But they have a different mentality. They say, I deserve to have money in my life, to have wealth and abundance, because I want to help myself and others too, my family and also other people in society. People that have a positive financial money story are more optimistic. They're more open to situations, and often they have better luck. They may talk to someone in a line at a store, and that person give them a tip that they can make a lot of money on, a business idea, or maybe something related to investments. So they're always open to learning new things, meeting new people, and they're optimistic. They realize every setback can be a success in the future if you learn the lesson from the setback. At the same time, they pursue inner development, personal development. They buy self-help books, they listen to podcasts, go to seminars, workshops. They're always looking to improve themselves, whether it's in the financial area or even psychologically or emotionally or spiritually. So people that are wealth-seeking people also are inner development-seeking people. The other thing that wealthy people do, people with a mind of abundance, is they place a high value on relationships. They believe emotional connections are very important. 94% of millionaires in a particular study said that people skills are one of the most important things that you can have. And many times they have networks of people that help them. They have mentors, people they look up to that can guide them in certain areas. And one of the important things about people with the wealth mentality is that they are not afraid to ask if they don't know something. You know, they're always open to asking for help in certain areas, whether it's financial help, accounting, legal, other personal issues. So looking for other people that can help you is a crucial part of this wealth mentality. The other thing is that they're open to seeing life as an experiment, an education. They're not afraid to lose. They say, well, I'm going to invest a certain amount of money. If I lose it, that's my tuition. That's my education in this particular area, whether it's real estate, stock market, business, other investments. They're willing to take a risk and they see it as an experiment. They're always open to learning from that. Even if they do fail temporarily, they know they can make a comeback. They know that every temporary so-called failure can lead to a bigger success. And as a result, they have that great talent called perseverance or resilience. They know they can bounce back from any so-called failure. Maybe they have failed in business. Some of them have been bankrupt before. They've lost a lot of money. They made mistakes, but they know that they can learn from that and move forward. And part of that is something I talk about often in my other books and lectures, is how to deal with regret. Because one of the biggest problems people have is regretting the past and also attacking yourself for your so-called mistakes. So the idea of self-forgiveness or self-compassion is crucial here. You may have lost money, you may have made a mistake, but you realize you're going to move forward. You're still a good human being. You're still a valuable member of society no matter what. And in fact, some people with the wealth mentality take it even further. They say, I'm going to make an awesome mistake. I'm going to make errors that are so big because I know the rewards will be even bigger when I learn from these mistakes. So they're not afraid to take risks. They say the biggest failures lead to the biggest successes, and they're willing to keep trying and trying. Thomas Edison, when he invented the light bulb, he tried thousands of combinations and they all failed, but he realized if he kept going at it, he would eventually find the right combination for the electric light bulb, which we have today. So they keep looking to learn from that mistake. The other thing, this is a little bit counterintuitive about wealthy people, people with the wealth mentality. When they studied the millionaire next door, the common millionaire personality, they found that they are very frugal, maybe even tight toward spending money, which you think is the opposite. You think, well, if you're a millionaire or if you have a billionaire, you're going to spend a lot of money. It's often the opposite. They actually took the millionaires in the study to this beautiful penthouse, and they fed them the best of foods, caviar, pate, and wine. And a lot of them felt actually uncomfortable with all that glamorous food. They ended up eating the crackers, was the most common thing they ate. And one of them was offered this expensive wine. He said, well, you know something? I only drink two types of beer, the free one and Budweiser. So they didn't even want to, you know, have all the luxurious items. Interestingly enough, 50% of the millionaires in the study never paid more than $399 for a suit, not like $1,000 or $2,000, which some people do when they do custom made. And 50% of them never paid more than $30,000 for a car. So all those Mercedes and BMWs and Rolls Royces may not be driven always by millionaires. You know, maybe people go in loan hawk, you know, or in credit debt to get those cars. And it's not the millionaires that have those cars. So they're able to be very frugal with their money. And they use that money to invest and to start businesses and to do other things. Maybe spend time with their family as opposed to just having material items. And part of that is what we call delay of gratification. Millionaire people with millionaire minds often are able to put off certain things, whether it's vacation or a big expense, for later. They can wait maybe even years down the line. As opposed to the other person who's in debt and uses a lot of credit, they might want to have that expensive car right now, that expensive vacation, but then they don't invest and they don't really succeed in creating wealth. So it's a whole different mentality. Immediate gratification, which is the person that may not be wealthy, versus delay of gratification, the person that millionaire that can wait for later to get what they want. The other aspect of millionaire mind is that they know how to recharge their batteries. They may work a lot of hours and often they are very hardworking. They can take time out for, you know, for a vacation, a few days, maybe some time with their family. They know when they need to take time to re-energize themselves, to relax and to clear their mind so they can go back with a lot of strength and vigor to solve problems and to create even more financial wealth. The other thing about the people with wealthy minds are oftentimes that they like to volunteer. They like to help. They like to give back. 75% of the millionaires in the study volunteer a minimum of 5 hours per week at some kind of charity organization to help people. And some of them actually volunteered a lot more. And they also gave money and also other things. And the idea is that when you have a wealth or abundance, you believe that you have so much abundance, you can give away more to other people. So this is like a good tip for yourself. Even though you may not have a lot of money, start to volunteer at a charity or give a little bit of money to homeless people or a church. And you start to feel that, hey, I have enough to give away. So I'm going to have more than enough for myself and my family. It's a whole mindset reversal because many times people have scarcity mindset. They think, well, if I give to people, I'm not going to have enough. But it's really the opposite is true. If you give more to people, oftentimes you attract more opportunities and more money and more success in your life. And finally, for the mind of wealth and abundance, is that people who are very successful financially, the millionaires or even greater, know how to pick the right associates, people in their life that are also successful and also positive. They avoid toxic relationships. 86% of the millionaires in the study associate with other successful people, other millionaires. Whereas 96% of people that are financial strugglers, they have a hard time making their ends meet and have a lot of credit card debt. They also pick people like them. So the idea of like attracts like. So if you want to raise your income level or your asset level, find people that you can associate with or even higher level than you are at the moment in terms of financial success. Now, how about you? Let's say that you, a middle-class person, maybe you're upper middle class, maybe you have some wealth, or maybe you're in the what we call poverty range. How do we raise our level financially? How do we have more wealth in our life in the financial sense? And here's some tips you can practice in your personal life. First of all, realize that it's not necessarily about intelligence that makes you wealthy. In fact, research shows that the average GPA of millionaires is 2.9 out of 4. So oftentimes they may not have done it as well in school, but they may have other skills. Maybe they know how to do marketing or sales or technology, and they apply themselves and they are very hard workers. So hard work is one of the keys. Many times they work 60 hours or more. Now, of course, they love what they do, so to them it's not really work, but they have that intense drive to accomplish and succeed. The other thing that millionaires do, or people with a wealthy mindset that you can do as well, is to keep a money story diary, whether it's on your tablet, computer, or even in a notebook. It's to write down some of the thoughts that come to you when you think of money. For example, we mentioned before, you may have heard this as a kid, money doesn't grow on trees, or you're not very good at money. As opposed to abundance stories. For example, I have all the money I need. I can generate money. There's an abundance of resources in the world. So start to realize when you start to talk to yourself in a negative way about money, and also reverse that and write down positive phrases that relate to money generation, money abundance, and security. Another important tip is people with a wealth mentality know how to invest. So you can do what's called automation of finances. There's a lot of apps out there where you can actually automatically take money from your account and put it into some investment, some kind of CD or stock or some other investment. And many times they say 20% is a good number. So take 20% automatically into an account for investment, and the rest you can live off, the 80%. That's going to help you build your wealth over time, but also going to help you change your mentality to abundance to investing, to taking your money and making it grow and producing something from it. The other thing you can do is to visualize and attract wealth. For example, you can write down or type in a tablet or computer what you want in the future financially and materially, whether it's a car, a house, a vacation, a certain amount of money in your bank account, certain investments, a successful business. You can even put pictures. People have done this through the law of attraction. They actually put up a little vision board where they have pictures of a vacation house or jewelry or whatever items they want, travel, fun times with family. And they actually visualize it, and they actually can start to, you know, really feel what it feels like to have those items in the future, that material wealth. And you can even meditate on money. Visualize, you know, sit there quietly with your eyes closed and breathe in and breathe out. Visualize that money is raining down upon you. You know, hundreds and hundreds of dollar bills or gold or jewelry, whatever it is that you like, and that you have this abundance. And that's not just for you. It's not a selfish thing, but you can give it away to your family and friends and maybe even the community. People that are poor and need your help, you can actually give that, some of that to them as well. So the key is to create wealth mentally and emotionally, and to realize that you can give love to others as a result of your own wealth. The other thing about wealthy people is that they read every day. They're always looking to learn, whether it's on their tablet, their ebooks, or actually physical books. And they love to learn. They're really great about improving themselves. And in fact, 2/3 of wealthy people, millionaires, spend 1 hour or less watching TV per day. And another 2/3 spend 1 hour or less on the internet for recreation because they're busy with other things. Where, you know, they're making money, they have a business, they want to spend time with family and friends. On the other hand, people who struggle financially, people who have a hard time making their bills and have credit debt, 77% of those people are watching more than an hour of TV a day and more than 1 hour of recreational internet per day. Some of them 5 hours, 10 hours a day. So again, they're being distracted. They're not focused on accomplishing, you know, their success and their financial success. And that could be a problem. People get caught up in these things, the technology part. And perhaps one of the most important things you can do is to keep a notebook or keep a diary in which you substitute mind of scarcity thoughts with mind of abundance thoughts. So I'm going to give you some right now. So if you want to write these down right now, type them in. And you can create your own, but create 2 columns on a piece of paper or 2 columns in your notebook or computer. And one is the mind of abundance and one is the mind of scarcity. In the mind of abundance, you're going to say something like, I create my life. In the mind of scarcity, you might say, life happens to me. Mind of scarcity, you say, I try to get money. Mind of abundance says, I am committed to wealth. And again, wealth can be more than money. It could be also leisure time with your family. It could be health. It could be helping other people. It could be contributing to society. Mind of scarcity column, you might put, I focus on obstacles. Mind of abundance, you say, I focus on opportunities. Where can I make money in the business or a new investment or a new idea? Or even help the community through these ideas. Mind of scarcity column, you might write, poor receiver. These are people that have a hard time receiving from other people, whether it's gifts or any kind of financial reward. They say they're modest or they say, I don't really deserve this. But they may actually push away positive financial success by having that mindset. Whereas people that have mind of abundance are good receivers. They know they can receive, whether it's gifts from other people or financial advantage. They're always on the lookout for new financial opportunities. And they're able to receive it and apply it and take action from them. On the mind of scarcity column, this is a very common one. I want to get paid based on the time I put into something, you know, hourly work. People with a mind of abundance say, I want to get paid based on results, whether it's commission, royalties, incentives, because they know they can make a lot more money by being successful and by creating results and products. And that's the other important point, is not to just focus on money, but to focus on the value that you create for other people. So whether you're helping them with their relationships, or you're helping them with a practical problem, or related to their health, or related to their finances, you're solving a problem for people in whatever business or career you have, and focus on creating more value. So instead of thinking I'm gonna make $1 million this year, maybe think I'm gonna help 100,000 people, I'm gonna help 1 million people. And that's gonna create value and eventually will return to you the financial side as well. But also in the emotional side, the fact that you're helping other people, you can be grateful for that. And it brings you great satisfaction and great meaning. As we mentioned earlier, many times wealth can actually help you feel that you have more of a meaning in life. You're contributing, you're creating a positivity in many ways. You're helping people as opposed to people that don't fulfill their potential and not really are making much money, but also they're not really influencing people as much, helping people. Another side of the column, mind of scarcity, is that people that have the scarcity mindset, that there's not enough money in the world, usually have only 1 or 2 sources of income. Maybe it's their job, maybe they have a small investment. People that have a mind of abundance have multiple sources of business, of income. They might have a business, invest in stocks, real estate, other things like that. And as a result, they're not worried about one little thing drying off. If they lose one thing, they still have more. If a person loses their job, they're toast many times psychologically in their mind because they think, that's all I have. I only have this job. The other thing, mind of scarcity aside, is I work hard for my money. And there are people that think that. They think, well, I have to work a nine to five job, and then hopefully I'll retire someday and get some benefits. People with a wealth mentality say, I'm going to make money work hard for me. So whether it's through my investments, passive income, business situations, they know how to automate. They know how to delegate. They know how to leverage money into bigger things, bigger and better things, whether it's in business or investments. And they realize, hey, if I have passive income, what's called passive income, where I don't have to work there all the time, I can have more time for my family and to enjoy things and also to help other people. I'm just tied into this a nine to five or this particular thing. And finally, people with a mind of scarcity say, I got to make enough money for myself. I got to keep it to myself. People with a mind of abundance say, I want to make money so I can give it away, so I can help society, I can help the community. The more money I make, the more I can give away. The more I give away, the more I can make. And it's kind of like reciprocal, which means it comes back to you. The law of abundance is that the more you give to others in a loving way, the more many times it's going to come back to you. It's a more relaxed way of looking at money. And I like to think of money as a form of loving energy, because when you do work that you love, you're paid for it with money. And people appreciate what you did. And then you may take that money and buy goods and services, also with appreciation and with love, to help other people. So in some ways, we circulate money throughout the world in a loving way to help improve other people and also societies. And that's a whole different way to look at money than in terms of I have scarcity, I don't have enough. So if you start to think of money in a different way, think of it as loving energy that you pass from one person to the other or society to society, your mindset will change. You will start to attract more money, more happiness, and more love in your life. So abundance is going to be your key as opposed to scarcity. So anticipate everyone is going to try some of these techniques this week. Automate your life. Think of money abundance instead of scarcity. See if money is a loving energy where you can help other people. And believe in yourself. Believe that you can create wealth. You can create riches within yourself, whether it's emotional riches and even financial riches. There's unlimited opportunities out there nowadays with technology and the things that we have in our society where you can create wealth in many different ways. If you believe in yourself, if you apply it, if you persevere. So this has been an interesting lesson for you guys out there at Love University. And anticipate you're going to apply this and do your homework. And I want to hear some results. Some of you guys may make a lot of money. I've had students have said, hey, I was able to buy my dream house or my dream car or travel and do other things because I changed my mindset. So write to us at lovetype4u@aol.com. That's LOVETYPE, the number four, letter U at AOL.com. With any of your success stories, questions or comments, or even if you have complaints, whatever it is that you want to write to us about. If you want to be on our show, we'd love to have you. If you have ideas for shows, you can also call us at 310-226-8090. My office in psychology, we offer different services. If you've been injured in an accident or if you have issues with being a victim of crime, things like that, we can help you forensically. Also in relationships and personal issues as well. And also we have a website, loveuniversity.love, that has our blog, our iTunes, and other shows. So I've enjoyed being with you today. Anticipate you've learned something valuable you can apply in your everyday life. And again, we're in fall session. We're very excited that we're going to have a lot of guests and new shows, a lot of great information. So until next time, put away your notepads, your pens, your pocket calculators, and even your wallets and purses. This is Love University, Dr. Avila. Until next time.